Well, as I said, I grew up in Lee, went to Lee Manor Primary School, so I was always walking down Hendon Road every day, walked past this church. Sometimes I climbed up on top of the wall and walked along that. Anyone done that? And then later I went to Colfe's, so I walked to school, you know, the entire time from home. But none of my family live here now, and the numbers of all bus routes have changed. But still, I come here and I feel, you know, Lee. Lee is in my blood. Lee Green is where I come from. And I've been coming and going from here all these years. My father died 7 years ago today. He died 7 years ago. Today is actually his birthday. He would have been 95 if he'd carried on living. My father brought me to church. In those days, my mother, who was a Presbyterian, went to church in Greenwich. There's a church called St. Mark's in South Street, Greenwich. And so for quite a few years, you know, they went off to different services. But we were always in St. Peter's, and when I started singing the choir, of course, I was there every week. I didn't go to Sunday school because there wasn't a Sunday school in St. Peter's. Now and then, my father took me to the Sunday school here, but they met in the vestry. I have a few vague memories of that, but once I was in the choir, then I didn't do that either. So one thing I want to say straight away, make sure children have got the chance to come under the Word of God, right? There is a Sunday school here, there are good teachers, and there are opportunities for the children to walk with the Lord from the beginning. It's an amazing thing. You really want to be sure they have the chance to do that. So the little ones that got baptized this morning, and the brothers and sisters, and the cousins, there's a great thing for you to grow up with the Word of God. We read from Acts chapter 18. It's just a typical part describing the activities of the Apostle Paul, who, like us, was a missionary and moved around in foreign parts. Even in today's reading, it mentions that he was trying to persuade both Jews and Greeks. So that shows that he spoke at least two languages, probably more, because he traveled around a lot. And, you know, he was doing the kind of stuff that we were doing, but probably a lot better. And you see he got some fellow workers. The names of various people come up in the narrative, people who worked with Paul, people Paul sent out to work in other cities. It's pretty much like mission work today. And this particular passage shows him in the city of Corinth, which is still there in the south of Greece. Very important, big commercial city, not as big as London, but every much as mixed and busy a city as London is. And Paul was meeting all kinds of people. First, he went to his own countrymen. He was a Jew. He went to the Jews first because he had more in common with them. He thought they would understand him. Well, some of them did, but the rest of them said, no, we don't want it. We don't want you. So he stood back from the Jews and he spoke to the rest of the people in their language and in terms that they would understand. And then comes a point, Paul was working really hard and he wasn't always welcome, but in verse 9 it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, don't be afraid, keep on speaking, don't be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you because, get this, I have many people in this city. So in the city of Corinth, Lord is telling Paul, I have many people in this city. Well, being in my line of business, you know, I can't tell you how often I and my colleagues have been encouraged to read this verse from Acts 18. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you. And I have many people in this city. That's really fantastic. Many people that belong to the Lord in this place. We did wonder from time to time. We worked in a city called Kimitsu. Kimitsu. You can look it up afterwards. The only place with that name. As I said, it's a couple of hours' drive out of Tokyo, going southeast around Tokyo Bay. Now, normally in Japan, when they ask how many Christians there are, people say they're roughly 1%, roughly 1 in 100. It's probably the numbers that call themselves Christians. Well, our town Kimitsu had a population on paper of 80,000. So if there was this 1% of Christians, there should have been 800 Christians there, by my calculation. Well, in our church we had about 30, 35 on a good day. We knew of two other churches in other parts of the city, but they were no bigger than we were. So maybe there were maybe 100 Christians who actually came to church and counted themselves as members. So where were the other 700? We often wondered that. We looked at the people charging into the station in the morning in the rush hour, pouring onto those trains, crowding in, and we thought, you know, is there one in a hundred Christians, people who belong to God, amongst these people? You know, if so, we would like to know who they were and be able to minister to them. If you think about it, if you live in Lee, and if you want to find something about the gospel of Christ, you can find out. You know, Good Shepherd Church is right here over there. St. Peter's Church is there on the Eltham Road. If you live somewhere else, you could go, where are we now? Up the hill to St. Mildred's, up the other hill to St. Margaret's. There's also URC and Methodist churches here doing excellent work. If you wanted to know the Lord, you could find somebody to teach you, find somebody to help you. There's a fair chance there might be a Christian amongst your friends, there might be a Christian at work amongst your colleagues. You'd find somebody who could tell you, what is it about Jesus? What is it about the good news? Now, in Japan, that's really different. The churches are not prominent. Land is incredibly expensive. Churches are not usually big buildings on prominent streets, with one or two exceptions perhaps. But usually a church is in a side street. It's a modest kind of building, not much bigger than a regular house. Ours was pretty much like that as well. We had a little church that the members had built by saving up over the years. It was big enough to take 50 people if you really crowd them in. And yeah, that's it. That's what we've got. The chance of having a friend who's a Christian, a colleague at work who's a Christian, is much, much smaller than it would be in the UK. And also much less likely that they would talk to you about the faith, because talking about religion is, I don't know, not really polite. Maybe it isn't polite in England either, I don't know. Times have changed. But it's less likely that you're going to hear. So this is a key reason why Renato and I have been there over these years. We went out in 1985 originally together. So it's really been 32 years, has it? Is that really true? Yeah. Because we want to give the Japanese people a chance to hear the good news. And you know what? If you give them a chance, quite often they will take it. I'm going to tell you about a member of our fellowship in the church of Hatazawa. Hatazawa was the local town name, just like Lee here. And that was the name of our church, Hatazawa Church. I'll introduce you to Isa. Isa Suzuki, very common name, surname Suzuki. She's about 33. She was born to a Spanish father and a Japanese mother. When she was about 5, her parents separated. So she's brought up by her mum and her mum's dad, her grandfather, basically like an only child in this family. Her grandfather was a former admiral in the Japanese Navy and descended from samurai, a very severe and strong man, also quite wealthy in those days, apparently. Isa says, my grandfather was like a god to me. You know, what he said went. He taught her not to be inferior to a man in anything, not in knowledge or career, and Isa just took this on as her purpose in life. However, when she was in her late teens, first her mother and then her grandfather died. And she was on her own. Suddenly she was on her own. She had to fend for herself, she had to earn her own living, and while working, she put herself through college and even went into postgraduate studies. She was doing anthropology. There was a helpful pastor, a kind of chaplain figure in the university who would talk to her from time to time, and she thought this is really interesting. But, you know, her life was so hard for her. She said, you know, how can there be a God? My situation is really, really tough. How can there really be a God? She kept on working, earning her own money, doing postgrad studies, and the subject of her thesis brought her into contact with a certain famous orphanage. It's called the Elizabeth Sanders Homes, and it was founded after the war by an outstanding Japanese Christian called Miki Sawada. It was founded for war orphans, not war orphans in the usual sense, the mixed-blood orphans born to American servicemen with Japanese women. And because they were of mixed blood, they weren't really accepted in Japanese society. And Miki Sawada founded an orphanage specially for these children. And Issa used to visit there because she was doing research in connection with that kind of thing. And there was an old pastor there who used to talk to her and was really warm and encouraging, really friendly, loved to talk to her, and she loved to talk to him. And she was encouraged, but she still thought Christianity, I don't know, it's a tool of communication between various cultural groups. That's all she thought Christianity was. In due course, she married a man from a rural area just to the north of Tokyo. Now, her father-in-law in this relationship was very conservative, a very Buddhist man, and she resented the fact that she'd done a doctorate, you know, a mere woman, you know, doing a doctorate and, you know, working in an advanced career. That didn't really sit with him. And her sister-in-law was really hostile to her, even at some point inflicting serious injuries on her physically. Issa descended into mental illness, and that led to divorce. She did marry again, and her second husband brought her to our town, Kimitsu. But her mental state was still not good. She thought to herself, oh, grandfather up there, he must be so disappointed in this weak person I've become. I'm worth nothing. You know, she started to do what they call self-harming. She has inflicted injuries on herself. And one day in the middle of this, just out of the blue, the thought came into her mind, surely God loves people unconditionally. You know, I've heard people say that. God loves unconditionally. Maybe he really does love me. If he does, I want to find out about it. Even though she'd ignored the Lord all this time. And she felt it was too good to be true. But she thought she'd better check it. And early last year, she turned up in our church, in Hatazawa Church. She found us on the internet. She turned up at church. I remember she wrote a note on, we have a sort of reception table, saying, you know, I want to become a Christian. How can I do it? Wow. People really do come to church like that from time to time, saying, I want to be a Christian. Lovely. She began to study the Bible with our colleague, Ruth Weston from Australia. And one time, Ruth actually noticed the injuries that Issa had on her body and asked her about it, and Issa told her the whole story. Ruth opened the Bible with her to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This was a shock to Issa, and the words really sank in. And as she studied together with Ruth, despite all the time she spent going to hospital and taking drugs and seeing doctors, this time she managed to stop harming herself, and her mental state got better and better. We could see it getting better week by week as she continued coming to church. She was baptized last October. And at her baptism, she said, through the Lord's love, I'm able to give thanks for everything that happened to me. That's what it took for his work to be revealed to me. Interestingly, when we left Hatazawa, we left at the end of March this year, it was Issa who offered to take over Renata's, you know, bakery and cafe, cake and cafe activity. We were asking, who can take this over? Because, you know, various ladies were coming to this very happily. And Issa said, oh, you know, I've been looking to see what I can do to help in the church. Maybe I can do this. Later on, we found out she'd actually been trained in bakery and confectionery. And she was really good at it. So even though she had a doctorate in anthropology, the gift that she used in our church was baking. Make a note of that. We saw in the Bible reading, many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. We've just had baptisms this morning. Wonderful thing. These children, Clementine, Ellery, have got the chance to grow up as children of God, grow up knowing God for themselves. Remember, we also heard the reading from Matthew's Gospel, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, in obedience to that, Bridget has done this baptism this morning. Our friend Isa became a disciple and was baptized, right? This morning's children have been baptized and will have to become disciples later on, but make sure that they do, and please, if you are parents or godparents, keep them going, keep the momentum up, and make sure they walk with the Lord as time goes on. They will need it. They will need it as time goes on. It's not easy living as Christian, even in this country, and it's not easy in Japan either. Let's encourage them, help them to grow so they don't miss the point, and they really do keep on belonging to him. They're some of the Lord's people who are in this city from year to year. If there's anyone here who, if you're not sure for yourself what it means to be one of God's people, look around you. Pastor Bridget and many of the other people here today can help you one step further and tell you what the good news is and how you can walk with God and how you can be one of God's people. May the Lord bless us as we go with him. Amen.